Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Lamentations. The Old Testament book of Lamentations and chapter number 2. The book of Lamentations and chapter number 2. We are now at the end of the series of the life and ministry of Jeremiah. We've taken this examination of the prophet Jeremiah, and we've placed the book of Jeremiah into chronological order, or the order that it happened in history. And now, after preaching for 30-something years, the worst fears of Jeremiah have come to pass. The judgment of God has fallen upon the nation of Jerusalem and Judea, that Nebuchadnezzar and his army have surrounded and besieged the city of Jerusalem for over a year now. They've had several phases, but this last phase lasted a year. And finally, the walls have crumbled. Finally, the destruction has come, just like God has said. Jeremiah, for all these years, have been trying to warn the people to flee from the judgment to come, trying to warn the people that this is what's going to happen if they do not repent. And over, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, has begged with tears in his eyes for people to return back to God. And now we find our way to the book of Lamentations. The word Lamentations carries the idea of a funeral dirge, and it is very much a mournful book, mourning and wailing over the destruction of Jerusalem. And so, if you don't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Lamentations and chapter number 2. Lamentations chapter 2, and notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 1. Lamentations chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Word of God says this: "How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion, and a cloud in his anger, and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and remembered not his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord hath swallowed up all the habitations of Jacob, and hath not pitied. He hath thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He hath brought them down to the ground. He hath polluted the kingdom and the princes thereof. He hath cut off in his fierce anger all the horde of Israel. He hath drawn back his right hand from before the enemy. He hath burned against Jacob like a flaming fire which hath devoured round about. He hath bent his bow like an enemy. He stood with his right hand as an adversary, and slew all that were pleasant to the eye in the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion. He hath poured out his fury like fire. The Lord was as an enemy. He hath swallowed up Israel. He hath swallowed up all her palaces. He hath destroyed his strongholds, and hath increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. He hath violently taken away his tabernacle, as if it were of a garden. He had destroyed his places of the assembly. The Lord hath caused the solemn feast and the Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion, and had despised in indignation of his anger the king and the priest. The Lord hath cast off his altar. He hath abhorred his sanctuary. He hath given up into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord, as in the day of a solemn feast. The Lord hath purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He hath stretched out a line. He hath not withdrawn his hand from destroying. Therefore, he hath made the rampart and the wall to lament. They languisheth together." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Lamentations in chapter number 2? The book of Lamentations in chapter 2, and notice with me in verse number 5, in Lamentations 2:5, notice the phrase, "The Lord was as an enemy." The Lord was as an enemy. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message surveying the book of Lamentations, dealing with this subject, "The Lord was as an enemy." If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. A God who does love us so much that you've warned over and over. A God who does love us so much that you've sent your preachers and your Bible to declare what is right and what is not right. How to get it right and how to keep it right. You've lovingly warned. And when your people and the people of the earth refuse to heed your warnings, your judgment will fall and will come. Lord, I'm asking that as we examine this passage here, that we would understand what the judgment of you looks like, what it sounds like, what it is like, and that we would do our best to turn towards you and avoid the judgment that is sure to fall. Lord, we do love you. We ask that you help us in a special way in such a serious message, that you would give us a great understanding. And again, I acknowledge that I have no ability of myself. So the best I know how, I surrender myself to you and beg that you fill me with your precious spirit tonight. That I would be out of the way and that we could clearly hear from your word, your voice, and what you would speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was the year 1938 when millions of America were enthralled around their radio in a very special radio cast of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. That many people, even though it was advertised beforehand, many people who tuned in thought the radio cast was a real life occurrence. That in the story of the War of the Worlds, that they went back and forth to various radio announcers, radio news people, and they would go from place to place and give account of what they saw and what they heard. And during this special radio cast, that many of people were scared. So many people called the police when they were hearing the events of what occurred in that radio cast in 1938. And in that radio cast, as the story went, is that the Martians came and landed in New Jersey. And I have no doubt that if the aliens were to come, they would come in New Jersey, probably followed by Chicago, but as it is. And in that telecast, people heard as the radio announcer who was on the scene would give account of what it looked like as the spaceship landed, as the spaceship opened up, as they heard the beams, and then the whole of America heard as silence hit. And people drew their own conclusions as finally the destruction hit that radio announcer. Well, the same thing is occurring in the book of Lamentations. The year is 586 BC, and the Babylonians have tore through the walls of Jerusalem and have destroyed the city. And now all that is left is Jeremiah now as a roving reporter. And as he goes through the book of Lamentations, this funeral dirge, he walks through it and he gives what he sees. He gives what he hears, and he gives an account in this poetical book describing what the judgment of God is truly like. And if you don't mind, I'd like to show you a couple things through the book of Lamentations here. And the first thing I'd like to show you is what the judgment of God sounds like. What the judgment of God sounds like. Notice with me in the book of Lamentations, chapter 1 and verse 1. Lamentations, chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "How doth the city sit solitary? That was full of people. How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes, among the provinces, how she has become tributary." In Lamentations chapter 1 verse 1, Jeremiah is walking through the city, and the first thing that strikes him as he's walking through this city is that this was a city that was full of people. And with the city, it comes all the noises of people, the crowds, the people laughing, the shop merchants barking, and he could hear all of the things that are no longer there. As he walks through there, he notices the judgment of God has fallen upon this city. He notices how solitary, how quiet, how still this city is. With an eerie silence as he walks through the city, he hears how quiet this once loud city was. And that is what the judgment of God sounds like. Notice with me in the book of Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 11. As Jeremiah continues to walk through. Notice in Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 11. "And all her people sigh." this carries the idea that the people, as he's walking by, all he could do is see people as he looks at them. It looks like they want to say something. And instead, they just sigh. There's just nothing that can be said. No words can come out. That people are still shocked. They're still in awe. They're still wondering what happened. And they're just, all that could come out of them is just sighs. And that's what the judgment of God sounds like. Notice with me again in the book of Lamentations chapter 1. Look with me at the beginning again at verse number 2. She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. In Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 2, Jeremiah is continuing walking through. He's noticing the still quietness of people. He notices, he sees the people, that he sees them just try to speak, and all that could come out is just the sighs. What do you say in such a situation? But he also sees and hears as he walks through, he hears as wailing begins to lift up, and people just wailing and crying and mourning. And that's in fact what the book of Lamentations is. It's a mournful book. It is a wailing book. It is a funeral dirge. And he could hear as people have lost everything, and they're just wailing and screaming and crying because of everything they lost, because of the people they lost, because of the judgment of God that fells. And this is what the judgment of God sounds like. In Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 7, we see Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all the pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell in the hand of the enemy, and none saw, none did help her. Her adversary saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. As Jeremiah continues to walk through his tour of the destroyed Jerusalem, he walks through and he hears the quietness. He sees and hears the sigh of the people. He hears the mourning and the languish that is coming from the people who have lost everything. And then as he turns the corner, the Sabbath day has come, that Friday night, which is usually set aside for the Jewish people to worship God and to meet together and to have their festivities and their fellowship. But instead, there is none of that. The synagogues are silent. The temple is silent. There is no gathering together. There is no fellowship. But instead, what he hears is the enemy as they mock and they laugh, almost saying, "Where is your God now? Where is he at? This one that you trusted." And they could say nothing to the mocking of the enemy. And that's what the judgment of God sounds like. Notice in Lamentations in chapter 2, Jeremiah continues his tour with inside of the streets of Jerusalem. And as he comes by, he hears some more sounds in Lamentations chapter 2. And notice with me in verse number 12, it says, "They say to their mothers, where is corn and wine? When they swooned as the wounded in the streets of the city, when their soul was poured out in their mother's bosom." He walks across the city and he hears a brokenhearted sound. He hears the children begging their bread and say, "Mama, when are we going to have something to eat? Mama, I'm so hungry. Mama, can we have just something small to eat? Mama, where are we going to get something to eat?" And Jeremiah hears that sound. And that is what the judgment of God sounds like. We continue on in the book of Lamentations chapter 2. And notice with me in verses 15 and 16. "And all that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All thine enemies have opened their mouth against thee. They hiss and gnash the teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Certainly, this is the day that we looked for. We have found, we have seen it." That as Jeremiah comes by, he hears the enemies once again. And you see this word hiss, this Bible word hiss carries the idea of what we would say, boo. And as they walk by, the enemies are saying, boo, boo. This is the city that said it was beautiful. This is the city that claimed perfection. This is the city. And all they do is boo at this city because it is now nothing. And this is what the judgment of God sounds like. Notice with me in Lamentations chapter 2, and notice with me in verse 19. Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thine hands toward him for the life of the young children that faint for hunger at the top of every street. Jeremiah continues to walk through, and as the dusk begins to settle and night is entered in, he could hear as people in their houses outside in the street are mourning and wailing, and they become such a mournful wail, a mournful cry. Everything has been lost. Everything has been destroyed. There is no hope left. And the people begin to wail and mourn in the midst of the night. And this is what the judgment of God sounds like. As we continue on in this tour of the destroyed city of Jerusalem, look with me in the book of Lamentations in chapter number 4. The book of Lamentations in chapter number 4. Lamentations chapter 4, and notice with me in verse 4. Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 4. The tongue of the suckling child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, and no man breaketh it unto them. That as the tour goes on, Jeremiah hears the sound of starving children, of children dying of thirst. They're so thirsty that their tongues are swollen and stuck to the roof of their mouth, and they could just grunt and just dying of thirst. The children are begging bread, and the most horrible sound is that people will not give these children bread, and that what little bread is there, what little meal is left, people are hoarding it for themselves and allowing the children to beg and to starve and to die. And that is what the judgment of God sounds like. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in the book of Lamentations chapter number 5. The book of Lamentations chapter number 5. And notice with me in verse number 14. Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 14. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. Here we see that the place where people would gather and people would have fellowship and there would be music, it is now silent. There is no music. There are no more hymns of praise. There is no joyful sound. It has now fallen silent. And that deafening absence of song is what the judgment of God sounds like. As we go through this book of Lamentations, we walk along with Jeremiah as he gives a report of what the judgment of God sounds like. And he goes through and records and gives those eerie sounds. But he just doesn't record what the sounds of judgment are like. He also gives and describes what the judgment of God looks like. What the judgment of God looks like. Turn back with me to the beginning of Lamentations. As we walk with Jeremiah, he's described the sounds of judgment. Now here, see as he describes the sights of judgment. What the judgment of God looks like. Look with me in Lamentations chapter 1. Lamentations chapter 1 and verse number 4. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast. All of her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted. She is in bitterness. In Lamentations chapter 4, it describes the gates. The gates of a city in the ancient world were the place where people met to do commerce, where they met to have the merchants meet together. It's where people did their business transactions. And as Jeremiah is walking along this destroyed city, he turns and looks at this gate, this area that was once filled with traders, filled with commerce, filled with people just making interactions, business transactions, people gathering together for fellowship. And he turns the corner and he sees that the gates of Zion are desolate. They're empty. No one's hanging around there. There are no business transactions. There's no one making trades. It is desolate. It is empty. And this is what the judgment of God looks like. Notice with me as we go on, Lamentations chapter 11. And verse number, or chapter 1 and verse 11. Lamentations 1 and verse 11, it says, all her people sigh. They seek bread. They have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the soul. Oh, see, O Lord, and consider, for I become vile. Jeremiah walks, and as he's walking down the broken streets, he watches a dear old lady come out, and in her hand is her jewelry box, her most prized possessions, and she brings them out, and she's going to trade all that she has just for a little bit of bread. And she trades everything she has just for food, giving up all the possessions that she has. And this is what the judgment of God looks like. Notice with me in the book of Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 17. Zion spreadeth forth her hands. There is none to comfort her. The Lord commandeth concerning Jacob, and as his adversary should be round about him. Jerusalem is as a minstrous woman among them. Jeremiah continues to walk down the street, and we see the picture of here of a lady just outside with her hands held up with the idea, why? Why? And the lady's just standing out there, just looking up, hands open. Why? Why? And that's what the judgment of God looks like. As we continue on this tour of Jerusalem, notice with me in Lamentations chapter 2. Lamentations chapter 2 and verse number 5. The Lord was an enemy. He had swallowed up Israel. He had swallowed up all her palaces. He had destroyed his strongholds and hath increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentations. One of the special features inside of the Jerusalem was the house of Solomon. That Solomon, when he was king, he built himself a magnificent house. A house worthy of a king. And it became a landmark for everyone to see the prestige of the king. And as Jeremiah's walking around, he notices that the skyline is deterred, that the skyline is ruined. And he looks and he notices there's something missing from the skyline, that Solomon's palace, the home of the king, has been wiped off, removed off the map, no longer able to be seen. And Jeremiah looks at this beacon of this authority within Jerusalem. And he sees that it is destroyed, it is leveled. And that's what the judgment of God looks like. Notice with me in Lamentation chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7. It says, and he hath violently taken away his tabernacle, as if it were a garden. He hath destroyed his palaces of the assembly. The Lord hath caused the solemn feast and the Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion, and hath despised in the indignation of his anger the king and the priest. The Lord hath cast off his altar. He hath abhorred his sanctuary. He hath given up into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord, as in the day of the solemn feast. As Jeremiah's putting an eye on the skyline, he notices that the house of Solomon, the palace of Solomon, is destroyed. Then he quickly looks over to the holy mount, Mount Moriah, and he looks and he sees that the temple is no longer standing. It is no longer there. This temple that when Solomon built, that he built this huge temple, and he overlaid it with gold, that if you were to build it in today's economy, it would be worth $500 billion. It was such a magnificent structure. It was coated with gold so that when people walking into Jerusalem, that the sun would glint off the gold and that they would get a hint, a man-made version of what the Shekinah glory would look like. And as Jeremiah looks and he sees that Solomon's house is destroyed, he looks over at the skyline, looks at the Temple Mount, and he sees that the temple is leveled and this magnificent wonder of the ancient world is no longer there. And that's what the judgment of God looks like. As we continue with this tour, notice with me in Lamentation chapter 2. Lamentation chapter 2, and notice with me in verse number 21. Lamentation 2 and verse 21. The young and old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and young men are fallen by the sword. Thou hast slain them in the day of thine anger. Thou hast killed and not pitied. As Jeremiah takes another turn, turns in one of the main boulevards, and he goes and he sees before him men and women dead on the streets. so many dead there and not enough people with enough health and strength to bury them. And so there they are just lying on the street. These dead bodies all over the place. The stench beginning to creep up as decomposition is beginning to hit. And he watches with revulsion as he looks at all of these dead bodies. And he identifies, this was a young lady. This was a young man. This was a noble guy. This was someone who was wise. And he walks and takes the tour of the streets and sees all these dead bodies cast aside, just laying there, no one tending to them. And this is what the judgment of God looks like. In the book of Lamentation, chapter 4, we continue to see this tour of Jerusalem, this destroyed Jerusalem, this Jerusalem that was once the apple of God's eye, but is now leveled and destroyed. Notice with me in Lamentation, chapter 4, and notice with me in verse 1. How is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. As Jeremiah is walking through the streets, he sees the dead bodies and his attention is on the dead bodies that he trips over some rubble on the ground. And just as he's ready just to pass over it, he takes a double look and he looks and he notices this is not just rubble. This is part of the walls, the structure of the temple. And the temple has been leveled and it has been destroyed and scattered all over the streets of Jerusalem. That not only their dead bodies, but this great temple, this place where they worship God, is laying all over the place. And it is all over. Tears must begin to flow across his face as he thinks about this place where God had put his name on. And it is now broken down in pieces. Nothing more than rubble and ruin just cast on the streets. And that is what the judgment of God looks like. In Lamentation chapter 4, and notice with me in verse 8. Lamentation chapter 4 and verse 8. He begins to look at other people who are still alive, or at least barely alive. It says, their visage is blacker than a coal. They are not known in the streets. Their skin cleaveth to their bones. It is withered. It is become like a stick. Remember that the Babylonian army had surrounded Jerusalem for over a year, cutting off any food coming in, no deliveries getting out, and they were stuck for a full year with whatever food they had. And now that the judgment of God has fallen, there is no more access to food. There is no more place to go get food. And as Jeremiah is looking, he's seeing people he once knew, but he can't recognize them anymore. Because their skin has turned gray and ashen. It's turned blackened. It now cleaves to their bones. They look like living skeletons. Unhealthy because they have dying of malnutrition. And he sees these people he once knew. And he can't recognize them anymore. And that just takes him aback. And that's what the judgment of God looks like. Notice with me in the book of Lamentation chapter 4 and verse number 10. It says, the hand of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. As Jeremiah turns another corner, he sees something that shocks him indeed. As he sees a mother who is starving so much that she has taken her child and killed her child. And has begun to cannibalize her own child so she could live another day. And that's what the judgment of God looks like. It continues to take this tour some more. In Jeremiah chapter number 5. Or Jeremiah chapter 5. Notice with me in verse 12. Jeremiah, or Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 12. Princes are hanged by their hand. The faces of the elders were not honored. Finally, he turns another corner and he watches as maybe it's a bridge, maybe it's a pole. But he sees hanging up on there is all of their leaders of the city. All of those that were the most respected. And they're hanging there by their necks. They're just hanging there, disgraced and not honored. Killed when the Babylonians came and went roughshod across the city. And he turns and he sees them just hanging there. And that's what the judgment of God looks like. The book of Lamentations is a funeral dirge. It's a mourning book that describes in detail as Jeremiah goes through. And he writes what he hears. And he writes what he sees. But one of the most amazing things about this book is that it also describes the enemy of this city, Jerusalem. Who is this enemy that caused this destruction? Who is this enemy that has come and showed all of this destruction? Who is it? The third thing I'd like to show you through the book of Lamentations is who their enemy really was. Who their enemy really was. Notice with me in Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 5. Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 5. Notice this. Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. The thing with the people of Jerusalem is that a couple days before, if you asked them, who is your greatest enemy? They would have mistaken their greatest enemy as their best friend. That if you had talked to them several days before the destruction had fallen, and you said, who is your best friend? Who is the greatest friend of Jerusalem? They would have all said, God is on our side. God is on our side. But as the judgment of God has fallen upon them, we find out the true enemy of Jerusalem. The true enemy of Jerusalem was God himself. That God was to them as an enemy. And he has destroyed them because of their sin. He has brought judgment because they refuse to repent. Because they refuse to get right. And God hath brought the judgment upon this land. And upon this city that was once called by God's name. And God was their great enemy. Notice as the Bible enforces this same thing in the book of Lamentation chapter 2. Notice with me in Lamentation chapter 2 verses 1 through 8. Notice how many times that God is identified as the enemy. It was God that brought the judgment. It was God that destroyed the people. It was not the Egyptians. It was not the Assyrians. It was not the Babylonians who was the great enemy of the people of Jerusalem at that time. It was God. Notice with me in Lamentation chapter 2. And notice with me in verse 1. How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger, and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and remembered not his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord hath swallowed up the inhabitations of Jacob, and hath not pitied. He hath thrown down in his wrath the stronghold of the daughter of Judah. He hath brought them down to the ground. He hath polluted the kingdom and the princes thereof. He hath cut off in his fierce anger in the horn of Israel. He hath drawn back his right hand from before the enemy. And he burned down Jacob like a flaming fire which devoured round about. He hath bent his bow like an enemy. He stood with his right hand as an adversary and slew all that were pleasant in the eyes of the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion. He had poured out his fury like a fire. The Lord was as an enemy. He hath swallowed up Israel. He hath swallowed up all her palaces. He hath destroyed his strongholds and increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. He hath violently taken away his tabernacle as if it were of a garden. He hath destroyed his places in the assembly. The Lord hath caused the solemn feast and the Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion, and had despised the indignation of his anger, the king and the priest. The Lord hath cut off his altar. He hath abhorred his sanctuary. He hath given up into her palaces. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord as in the day of the solemn feast. The Lord hath purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He hath stretched out the line. He hath not withdrawn his hand from destroying. Therefore he hath made the rampart and the wall to lament. They languish together. That God was their great enemy. And they didn't even realize that he was their enemy. It was because they refused to turn to God. It is because they continued to get in the way of the things that God wanted to get. It's because they refused to repent that he became their great enemy. And it wasn't because God changed. It is because the people refused to come to him when he gave them offer. Notice in the book of Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 17, God continues with this same thought. The Lord hath done that which he hath devised. He hath fulfilled his word which he hath commanded in the days of old. He hath thrown down and hath not pitied. He hath caused thine enemy to rejoice over thee. He hath set up the horn of thine adversaries. Notice with me in Lamentations chapter 4. Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 11. The Lord hath accomplished his fury. He hath poured out his fierce anger. He hath kindled a fire in Zion and hath devoured the foundations thereof. And Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, but thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. That what has happened in the book of Lamentations is that Jeremiah has taken a survey. He's overseen and given what the judgment of God sounds like, what the judgment of God looks like. But he also identifies who was the great enemy of the people of Jerusalem at that time. And it was not the Egyptians, it was not the Assyrians, it was not the Babylonians. It was God himself. And the question now remains, why? Why? And so if you don't mind, I'd like to preach to you now. Four reasons why the judgment of God falls upon people. Four reasons why the judgment of God came. Four reasons why America itself will have God as a great enemy if these are not fixed. Notice, if you don't mind, in the book of Lamentations in chapter number 4. And let's see, why did the judgment of God fall upon these people? Why will the judgment of God fall upon our nation? What are the reasonings for this occurrence? Notice with me in the book of Lamentations chapter 4. And notice with me in verse 13. Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 13. For the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priest that have shed the blood of the just in the midst of her. We notice here that the first reason why the judgment of God came was because of the sins of the preachers. The sins of the preachers. That in Jeremiah's day, you had so many people saying the judgment of God will not fall. God's for us. You go ahead and do whatever you want. In fact, in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 6 and chapter 8, that Jeremiah said, this is what they were saying, that they have healed the hurt of my daughter slightly. Saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. The Bible describes that what happened is that these false preachers kept saying, God will never bring judgment upon you. God likes you as you are. That you go ahead and do whatever you want. And as long as you come to God, he'll pat you on the head and he'll be fine. But that is not how God works at all. What happened is that the people were not dealing with their sin. They wanted to go to a preacher that would not preach on sin. They wanted to go to a preacher that would tickle their ears. They wanted to go to a preacher that says, you live however you want. You're still good. And you understand, we have preachers today that say it is not a sin problem. It is a self-esteem problem. We have preachers today that say that we should never preach on sin because it makes people feel bad and it messes up their self-esteem. We have preachers that no longer call sin, sin. For example, when President Clinton was caught in the midst of all of his sexual sins, that the Reverend Billy Graham showed up on the Today Show with Katie Couric, and he said this, well, you just have to understand that our president is just such a good-looking man. And you would just have to suppose that he would have such problems. You understand that is not the message of John the Baptist when he stuck his bony finger inside of King Philip and said, thou shalt not have this woman as your wife. You understand we live in a time now where preachers do not call out sin. We live in a day where preachers just want to make people feel good. And by the way, we should be able to feel good as we get right. There is no better feeling than getting thoroughly right with God. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The best feeling you could ever have is to be thoroughly clean and forgiven when you are right with the Lord. And that's where God wants us to be, is to be right with God. But people will not get right with God as long as preachers are tickling people's ears, as long as preachers are telling people that you are fine as you are and not dealing with sin that people struggle with. And so why did the judgment of God fall upon Jerusalem? Why was it that God became their enemy? It was because of the preaching of the prophets. It was because of the sins of the preachers. Notice there's a second reason why the judgment of God came. Why God became the great enemy of the people of Jerusalem at that time. Not only because of the sins of the prophets, but also notice with me in the book of Lamentation chapter 4, and notice with me in verse 20. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was taken in their pits, of whom we said, under His shadow we shall live among the heathen. Not only did the judgment of God come upon the people because of the sins of the preachers, but also because of the sins of the kings. The sins of the kings. In Lamentation chapter 4 and verse 20, it's dealing with the kings of Jerusalem. And what happened is that the people said, as long as we're under the shadow of their wing, I know there may not be perfect, but as long as we're under the shadow of their wings, we'll be all right. We'll be okay. But this also included two very evil kings at the very last. You had Jehoiaz, who, when Jeremiah was told by God to record portions of the book of Jeremiah, and He sent His secretary Baruch, that what happened is that Jehoiachin, took the Bible and used a penknife and cut out the scriptures and then threw them in the fire and just totally abolished and destroyed God's holy word. Then after that, you had King Zedekiah. King Zedekiah was a great idolater who did not want to worship God, but wanted to worship himself and refused to turn to God, even though he had the opportunity over and over and over. And the people were saying, well, just as long as the kings are right, we're going to be safe. As long as the kings are our kings, we're going to be protected. But you understand that their leadership was not right. And their leadership was leading people not to follow the Lord. And that was one of the reasons why God became their great enemy. That God became their great enemy. The judgment of God fell upon Jerusalem because of the sins of the preachers. They fell because of the sins of the kings. But notice with me in something else in Lamentation chapter 5. Lamentation chapter 5 and verse 7. Why else did the judgment of God fall? How did God become their enemy? Because of the sins of the preachers. Because of the sins of the kings. But we also see because of the sins of the fathers. The sins of the fathers. Lamentation chapter 5 verse 7. Our fathers have sinned and are not. We have borne their iniquities. That what had happened is that they had fathers that refused to serve God, and that influence led their children not to serve God, and that these fathers, these ancestors, they just refused to serve the Lord. And God had enough of it. Had enough of this continuing on. There was no hope. There was no one turning. They were just following suit one after another. And God says, this has got to stop. This has got to end. And because of the sins of the fathers, the judgment of God fell. But there's one other reason why the judgment of God came. It came because of the sins of the preachers. The sins of the kings. The sins of the fathers. But notice with me in the book of Lamentation chapter 5. Lamentation chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, the crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. That we have sinned. You understand who is speaking at this time? It's Jeremiah. And you almost want to say, well, Jeremiah, you're the one who's been the preacher. You are the one that has been proclaiming God's word. But yet Jeremiah said, it is we that have sinned. The Bible is very clear in the book of Peter that judgment must first begin at the house of God. When we look at our country, we look at our Facebook, we look at the news feeds, we can get aggravated about what's going on in Washington. We can get aggravated about what's going on in Hollywood. We can get aggravated about what's going on in Madison. But you understand the judgment of God will not fall because of the sins of Washington. It will not fall because of the wickedness of Hollywood. It will not fall because of the laws passed in Madison. But it will fall because of God's people refusing to behave like Christians. You understand? God is looking for Christians, His people, believers, to act and behave like Christians. And it is because we refuse to act like Christians that we have no power and no influence with the world around us. We have no influence to bring people to the Lord. That they look at us and say, you're just the same as us. Remember that the best evidence that the Bible works, the best evidence that biblical Christianity is true, is the evidence of a changed life. And as long as Christians behave like the world, as long as we continue in our sins and we refuse to get right, we can expect that the judgment of God will fall. You understand, God is looking to us tonight to be thoroughly right with Him. And that any hope that our nation has is not if Washington is bombed off the map or if Washington gets thoroughly right. It is not how many conservatives or how many liberals we get into office. It is not how many people we could stack or what laws we pass. The Bible clearly says that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. You understand that the fate of our nation falls upon us as believers. That if we refuse to get right, you can mark it down that America will have a great enemy. And that enemy will not be North Korea. That enemy will not be Mexico. That enemy will be the Lord Himself. If we do not get right. Woe unto us that we have sinned. So let me ask you, dear friend, when's the last time that you were thoroughly clean? Now, we understand that the first step, that have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you been forgiven of your sins? Do you know that you have eternal life as a present possession? That, dear friend, if you don't know for sure, it'd be our great privilege to open up the Bible and to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven, that Jesus is the one who died on the cross for you, and that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But tonight, I'm not speaking to the lost necessarily. I'm speaking to those that say they're God's people. Are you thoroughly right with God? Or do you have some pet sin that you keep playing around with that you refuse to get right? That you refuse to turn to Him about? That He's warned you over and over? Maybe it's an attitude problem. Maybe it's a submission problem. Maybe there's an eye gate problem. Maybe there's an ear gate problem. Maybe you have a lying problem. I don't know what it is, but you do. God's been dealing with you over and over and over. What's it going to take for you to finally get right? You understand? It is our responsibility for our nation to influence it, to win it to the Lord, to show that there's a God that's real, to show that there's a people who serve a real God, and that if judgment falls, it is not because of the lost. It is because of God's people not living like God's people. Woe unto us that we have sinned. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time
to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.